joining us. Hi, Ferret.
Hi, Flame.
Hi, fandom.
Today is a special bonus episode where we're going to talk about events, what they are, how to run them, and how to participate.
I'm new to fandom, obviously, but I've already gotten a crash course in some of the realities of events.
And I've been a part of nearly every kind of event, doing nearly every task that supports them. So between the two of us, we think we'll provide a pretty comprehensive, if quick, fandom events 101. We are also heading into Northern Hemisphere summer, which means a lot of events. Marie does an incredible job rounding up most of them for our events forecast, but a lot happens so quickly that it's best to check her blog for a comprehensive list.
We both love events, and we know you guys do too, since the most praised segment on the pod is consistently the events forecast. We hope this brief primer is helpful not only for those about to dive into their first event, but even for anyone who's been around a few blocks.
So without further ado, let's get started.
First off, let's do a basic rundown of some of the most popular fandom events. We've got bangs, reverse bangs, exchanges, madnesses, bingos are probably the ones you see the most.
There's also round robins, relays, remixes, prompt lists, prompt challenges, charity auctions, the list goes on and on. Since the only limit to event creation is the creativity of fandom, we have a lot going on.
Basically, whatever your mood is at any given time of year, there's an event for you.
The events that get talked about most are probably bangs. These are events where writers write a story and some part of it is shared, a snippet, a summary, a synopsis, what have you. And artists then claim those stories and create art for them. Bangs are one of the longest standing, I'd say, fandom events. They've been around for a long, long, long time. The idea is it's a way to get writers and artists working together. And for a lot of people who've never had somebody make art for their work before, it can be very exciting. You might see different names for various bangs, big bang, mini bang, stuff like that. Usually that just has to do with word count. Originally in the first fandoms that started doing bangs, the word counts were really high. Like I think 50,000 words way back when was popular for a big bang. But a lot of those counts have come lower and lower and lower as fandoms have realized what a barrier for entry that can be. So generally now, because it varies so much, the big or mini aspect may not be entirely clear at first. So whatever it's called, I would recommend looking into the notes to see the rules or whatever they have to see exactly how many words are going to be expected of you before you sign up.
Yeah, and just like any other community, the meaning of words evolves over time, and fandom is such a community where the turnover is high. Obviously, there's new people coming and going every day. Mm-hmm. And so bang has become, in my experience, in just a year, like big bang is like the word you just use and then bang is slang for it.
but that's not necessarily true. Yeah, it's lost a little bit of the distinction between what a bang and a big bang is. And a lot of, there are like standard ones, like cat big bang or whatever. And so people short form that to C-A-P-B-B or whatever. And so that kind of language evolution does happen. So yeah, again, just look to be sure you know what you're getting into.
Yeah. And then you have bang events where the art is presented first and the author picks the art to create for. And those are called reverse bangs, literally what it says on the tin. In my experience, usually, and I think this is across the board, but Ferret, correct me, usually a lower word count minimum than bangs. Like the last three reverse bangs I did were all 5K word counts.
Yeah, they're usually less than the same event group's bang will be. So a lot of event groups do both a bang and a reverse bang. So at one point in the year, they'll run a bang, and then the other half of the year, they'll run a reverse bang. And generally, yeah, I would assume that reverse bangs are going to have a slightly lower word count. Another kind of event that's super popular, especially around holidays and occasionally in the summer as well, is an exchange. With an exchange, you would sign up usually through AO3, but there are ones that are run on many other platforms as well. You describe a little bit of your likes and dislikes. Sometimes you tag which universes you want or which ships you want, depending if it's a ship-specific exchange or not. And that is given anonymously to somebody else who takes what they've been given there and creates a fan work for you. Meanwhile, you will get given someone else's sign up and be expected to make a fan work of your own. So it works very similarly to the idea of a Secret Santa exchange, which maybe you've done in your workplace.
Yeah. And the reveals day for exchanges, I will say, are editorial comment here, really fun.
Yeah, they're wild. And some exchanges will do that. There's an anonymous period, so everything, you'll get your gift, but you won't know who it's from yet. And you get to read it and comment on it without knowing who it is. And then once all the gifts have been handed out at the very end of the event, they'll do author reveals and you'll get to see the name of the person who made your gift for you. So there's layers of anonymity there that can make it extra fun.
So the exchange's very close cousin in event world is a madness or a stocking event or a prompt meme. They're all kind of part of the same umbrella. These are events, again, that are mostly run on AO3 that are like a one-sided public exchange. I'm going to not explain this well. Ferret help.
Yeah. So I would say that one of the classic exchanges of this type is Fandom Stocking, which has been running every year for quite some time up to this past year where it did not run. I don't know if we have word yet on whether it's going to run again this year. But the idea was you sign up with a stocking. So for your stocking, you say what general kinds of things you like, ships you like, even your hobbies, and you know, what kinds of food you like pictures of. And that creates a stocking, which then other people can fill as many people as they want with whatever they want that fits your parameters. So it's a totally open, the idea of a madness event is that once you've posted your sign up, that sign up becomes available for anybody who wants to fill. So yeah, Fandom Stocking is a classic, and Yuletide, which is a straight exchange for rare pairs, also has an extra Yuletide Madness where you can make bonus gifts and give them to other people's stockings as long as you've finished your own. There's also Chocolate Box around Valentine's Day that does something similar to that. So yeah, that's the idea sort of with the Madness or Stocking event. It uses the prompt meme challenge system on AO3, if you do run it on AO3, which is a sort of very specific set of challenge guidelines. But Fandom Stocking actually runs on Dreamwidth. It used to run on LiveJournal.
Oh my God, LiveJournal. I haven't thought about that in a hot minute.
No kidding. But the way they do it is you just comment on the post with your piece. So it would be possible to run something like this elsewhere. Tumblr might be hard, but there are lots of different ways to do it, and people have done it a bunch of different ways. But fundamentally, we're talking about you make a sign up, anyone can satisfy that sign up however they want. CapIM does a remix madness where you sign up with the pieces that you're willing to have remixed or the pieces you are not willing to have remixed, and other people can, anyone can come in who wants to and choose from that list, do a remix and submit that as Remix Madness. So yeah, there's lots of different ways that you can make a madness style event happen. There are two more events that frequently pop up on our events calendar that we want to cover. And then for any others, because there are a lot, we encourage you to look at the lexicon on the podcast website or just go to FanLore and search for it. If you see the name of an event and you don't know what it is, FanLore is always a great place to start. The first is Theme Weeks, and these are often run on social media, so you might see them on Tumblr or Twitter, and they can vary a bit too, but the idea is basically that there will be a theme picked. It might be a ship, it might be a character, it might be a trope, so you might see Sam Wilson Week or Hurt Comfort Week, and the idea is that for the period of that week, you're encouraged to post pieces that fit that theme, usually with a specific tag or submit them some way. And the week social media will reblog or share or retweet those things. Usually very low barrier for entry with theme weeks. There's generally not any kind of minimum or anything like that. And oftentimes you'll be given prompts. So they might have, I think there used to be a Bucky Nat week. I don't know if they still do that. And every day of the week was a different prompt. So, you know, Monday might be romance or something like that. And Tuesday would be knives or something. I don't know. And it's supposed to be just totally open. However that inspires you to create, you create, and it becomes part of the theme week.
Yeah, I know there's Winter Iron Week. And I'm hearing rumors of a Stony Week and as well as a Parkner Week happening. And I'm toying with the idea of a ABO Week.
That would be so fun.
Lots and lots of ways to engage in that kind of thing coming up for sure. So
gives you a little motivation to get to dig into one specific theme or ship that you're into for a short period.
And then the final one that is ubiquitous, I think, is bingos. Mm-hmm. Farrah and I have different approaches to bingos. I sign up for anyone that sounds even vaguely fun, and sometimes I get bingo and sometimes I don't, but I like having the prompt challenges.
Whereas I have a near pathological need to black out every single card I can get. Just as a sideline, what it's generally called, it's a bingo if you get a line. I don't know, maybe kids these days don't play bingo anymore, but if you get a bingo card, five in a row in a line, diagonal or straight, up and down or horizontal, is called a bingo, because if you were playing bingo, that would be enough to win. But a blackout is when you get, when you fill every square on the card. So I love bingos, but I have to be really careful about how many I sign up for, because I quite literally can't not finish them. It's intense.
Yeah, so she's dragged me into a blackout for Tony Stark bingo.
So you say that like it's a bad thing.
I was like, so excited. You're bad. I was like, oh, I have like nine left. I'll just leave it go. And you said, so what are the squares? Let's start brainstorming.
You got this, girl. Come on.
Like the best, most enabling cheerleader. No, I'm really excited actually now. I'm slightly intimidated, but like now I'm good because the round ends July 4th. So I got to get going.
We got time. I just got my card like a week ago.
Yeah.
We got bags of time.
So every time I'm writing something, when Mr. Flame thinks I shouldn't be writing, he's like, what is going on? I'm like, just blame Ferret. He's accepted it.
Blame Ferret is an all around useful phrase. And everyone listening, you're all welcome to use it as well for absolutely anything you like. I will shoulder that for you. But back to bingos. Bingos are exactly what you'd expect. They're usually centered around a character or a ship or a theme or a trope. We've got Band Together Bingo is a new one that just came out with all problematic squares. That's pretty fun if you want to get involved with that. But yeah, you can pick anything really to be the basis of a bingo. I've done Stony Bingos. There's a Bucky Barnes Bingo. And I've also done Hurt Comfort Bingo. So it's really anything. Each bingo will have its own rules for minimum fills. They usually are less than 1,000 words for writing. I've not seen many that go any higher than that. Usually it's more like around 200, 300, 500 words for a bingo fill. So they're usually fairly low barrier for entry. And there's absolutely no punishment if you don't finish for a bingo. With things like bangs, when someone else is working with you and you sort of have a responsibility to fill, most bangs will not let you participate in the next year's event or any other events that group may have until you have completed your obligation for the previous one. So if you do, that's assuming that you didn't, default during the normal period where you're allowed to do that. But if posting comes and goes and you did not post, then you're usually beholden to do that before you can participate again. Bingos have absolutely nothing. There's no assigned dates to post. There's no, if you don't do it, you don't do it. It's fine. You can just get another bingo card. In fact, a lot of bingos even let you carry cards over or carry squares over to the next round.
Yeah, the focus is content creation for this 100%.
Yeah.
Just how can we get more cake for that particular card?
You can also usually win badges for completing bingo or a blackout or any special challenges that they assign.
Yeah, the Marvel Polyship Bingo that's running right now has this bonus badge if you do everything in an alternate universe.
That's fun.
And Tony Stark Bingo famously has the dummy badge for making fills but not getting bingo, which I also really love. Tony Stark Bingo has a lot of quirks of just like, how do we create more content? And that's every bingo I've personally been a part of that I've enjoyed, the focus has been on how do we just encourage you to create more, whether that's art or playlists or mood boards or crafts or fic. How do we get more work? And obviously here at the podcast, we are fans of more work.
More cake. Also, I have been asked before what you do with a badge.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Like, what are badges? And yeah, they're kind of an old holdout from old social media, like LiveJournal, where you could put them in your profile and stuff like that. So people would collect badges and their profiles would have like all the badges that they've collected over the years. We don't really have that anymore, but I have seen people set them as their avatar on Tumblr, as their avatar on Discord or on other social media. Sometimes people just reblog a picture, like they just put their badge in a post and blog that to celebrate. They might put it at the top of their master post if they list all of the squares that they filled. They're really just, they don't quite have the place that they used to. There used to be a place where you would put your badges, but I still think that it's really special just to get it. They're just a little image. Usually, you know, everybody who gets a bingo, everybody who gets a blackout or whatever will have the same image, but it'll have your name on it. And yeah, it's like getting a, it's like going to camp and like getting a little participation ribbon.
Yeah. Nice. I have a folder on my phone of all my badges.
Yeah. You just save them somewhere. You know what? Fuck it. Print them out and stick them to your wall. And then whenever you're sad, you look at them and go, I accomplished that.
Oh yeah. That's a great idea.
Another one you might see floating around is the charity auction. I'm actually heavily involved with running Marvel Trumps Hate, which you might see shortened to MTH sometimes. And that's one of the large Marvel-based charity auctions that runs regularly each year. And that one was based off of Stony Trumps Hate and Fandom Trumps Hate, which is sort of the big standard charity auction. But there have been a lot of other little charity auctions that have popped up now and then, usually related to a specific effort that they're raising money for. The Trump's Hate auctions are more broad. They raise money for a larger collection of charities that are sort of standards year to year. But basically the way a charity auction works is that creators sign up, they offer themselves a work of theirs. It could be something that already exists or something that you're willing to make commissioned specially for somebody. And there's a period of bidding where everyone bids on the various creators. And when bidding closes, those winners donate that money that they bid directly to charity. And as a result, they win a fan work from the creator that they bid on.
And so you'll see this like constantly whenever there is a charity auction, people fretting over not getting bid on or how much money to offer for how many word count. So if you're thinking of entering and you're like, but I don't even know how to do it, know that all of us who do it every single time are in those kind of discussions too, I guess is a way to say that. Like, no
matter
what
you're stressing about, you're not alone.
You're not alone. Like, which is pretty much one of the truisms of fandom, right? Whatever you're stressing about, you're not alone. Even if it's like Animal Crossing, you're not alone.
And whatever you're drooling over, you're also not alone.
We're absolutely not alone. Oh, I had a long discussion this morning about waistcoats.
Mm. Ooh, yeah, girl.
But there's other opportunities too. Like if something is really bothering you in the world and you would like to raise money for it and you are somebody that can create, there are people that will participate in that. For instance, even outside of Marvel Trump's Hate, when the Australian brush fires were happening, I just put up on Tumblr that if you screenshot me a screenshot of a donation from one of the approved Australian charities, I will create a fan work of your choice for you.
Yeah, and there's like, there's definitely, it's a big spectrum using fan works to raise money for charity. And if something like Phantom Trump's Hate or Marvel Trump's Hate, where there's hundreds of people participating, seems overwhelming, then there are definitely smaller things you can absolutely do to use your words to support charities that are in need.
Art and handicrafts are the same way. And anything that you can, beta-ing is also popular. If you're a really good beta, or you just really like doing it, that's a great winning thing. So it's broad. And the point is that that no matter how little financial capital we have to give, there are other ways to give and create more joy in the world. And so kind of this collaborative charity auction is another expression of who we are as fandom. Very, very famously, the Supernatural fandom raised a whole lot of money for Puerto Rico right after Hurricane Maria. A big part of fandom history that maybe I'll cover in a Professor Flame corner is the engagement with charity. That's a thing that fandom has done since the mid-60s, to be honest, and possibly even earlier. So just know.
If you're interested in participating in specifically Marvel Trump's Hate, I'm going to link the Discord server for the event in the show notes. We are just starting to gear up and get ready for this year. We haven't had our official announcement, but you heard it here first, folks. We are starting to get ready. So yeah, hopefully I'll see you there and you can sniff around and see if it's something you'd be interested in as either a creator or a bidder, maybe both.
So now that you have an idea of what kind of events are out there, we have some tips and suggestions for both running events and participating.